Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Faith That Functions with Pastor Gordon Naumann.
Hello and welcome. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK, and it's time for another episode of the series Faith That Functions with me, Pastor Gordon Naumann. Today we're going to hear what God's ultimate rule is from Romans 13, verses 1 to 10, and from the English Standard Version it reads, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing, pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law." The greatest gift that God has bestowed on us is His Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and the salvation He won for us on the cross. Through Christ's atoning sacrifice, our sins have been forgiven, and through word and sacrament, the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts to take hold of this great treasure. Christ rules in our hearts, and in His church through the kingdom of God's right hand. But what about God's left hand? One could probably say that the government is God's second greatest gift to us, especially in such a blessed country, a first-rate country with the NHS, a rich history built on Christian principles, a monarch, police to protect us, firefighters. We are able, it seems, to deal with anything, even a recession. If you don't understand this, then try living in a third-world country where people are quite frankly needlessly dying because if they had what we have, they would quite simply not die. They would be cured or protected or filled. Again, we have safe roads, regulated utilities, due process of the law, a public education system, childcare, gift aid, national insurance, military protection, and the list goes on. But the amount of complaining we do as a nation, it would be good to just step back for a moment and thank God for His blessing of the left-hand kingdom and the freedoms in which we can live. We can elect our leaders, and why even stop there? We could run for office ourselves. Generally speaking, if we obey the laws and stay out of trouble, government leaders, including the police, are our friends. Paul says in our text, "For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do what is good, and you will receive his approval, for he is God's servant for your good." Verses 3 to 4. It's quite interesting when you think about it, that the gospel writers don't record Jesus ever condemning, complaining, or criticizing the civil government, even though it would soon crucify him unjustly and level Jerusalem in less than 40 years. But not surprising, for it is clearly a matter of principle to support the kingdom of the left. What is remarkable is that Paul is penning the words of our text in the bloody reign of Emperor Nero, and had lived himself through Caesars Tiberius, Caligula, and Claudius, who we know were big in persecuting Christians of all people. Yet Paul says here, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." Verse 1. So does the United Kingdom consist of a Christian government? Though even our monarch still claims the title Defender of the Faith, really it is quite clear that we do not, as citizens of our blessed nation today, live in a theocracy. And that makes sense, because we have actually, at the end of the day, separated church affairs from the affairs of the state. And this is actually a good thing. It means we have rightly distinguished between law and gospel. There's no confusion here anymore, though we have many laws rooted in Christian principles. Someone who had a good understanding of the differences between God's left-hand kingdom and his right was, of course, Martin Luther, and a big part of this understanding came from Romans 13. An important point he made was that our hearts do not bleed on whether or not the government decide to implement the death penalty or not. If those in authority believe it is the best way to carry out the law and encourage truth and justice or use it as a deterrent, that is their business. We are not to start accusing the state of murder. That would be to confuse kingdoms. You remember how it was when a theocracy was the way of things. It would be like it was in Northern Ireland, but worse. Catholics and Protestants wouldn't be able to live in the same town, not because of some little tension between the common people, but because the government have a particular belief outlawed. In fact, we'd be going back to almost medieval times. The US can't really date that far back, but they can remember when about 300 years ago it was illegal to be Catholic in Massachusetts. You couldn't be Quaker anywhere. And no one can forget Salem in the 17th century. If you had any sort of quirk, you would be accused of being a witch. Sad to say, really, but that is the ultimate result of a theocracy in this world today, in this fallen world. Don't even get me started with the situation of ISIS. Though it would be right for Jesus to rule alone as king, the wisdom of man has become so corrupt and varied and has so many traditions and doctrines now, not only of God, but of the Son of God, it would be worse than the state of Israel right now. There would be war upon war in every state if the government insisted on being a theocracy. As it is, we deal with the lesser evil of the government insisting on every religion having equal value at the risk of, if not by necessity, devaluing Christian principles. And so we live in this sort of half-hazard Christian reality where in some places there is more of a Christian presence than others. You'll have some schools that still celebrate Christmas as it should be, and some that insist on singing songs only about Frosty and Rudolph. But though the latter causes us to cringe, it is only because we can remember back to when we could celebrate our faith more openly and festively, without offending anyone. Whereas today we can at least still thank God that we can worship him without fear, freely. We have our churches and our land set aside for us. They're ours. The government will not take this from us, and they will certainly do what they can to protect it, even if it's just because we have a Tier 2 status on our building. No, really, though being a Christian in 2014 doesn't seem to be as popular as it was, say, 50 years ago, the government still does not interfere with our freedom to worship and is not out to persecute us. It does happen, but I think one would have to go out of their way to provoke such persecution. So no, we're technically not a Christian nation. But that's okay, because as we've been learning throughout God's revelation, God still ultimately rules through the government, for he is, of course, always over both his left-hand kingdom and his right. But, as importantly, we are to remember that there is a distinct difference between them. One covers a wider spectrum of people and subjects, believers, unbelievers, the ignorant and the wise, the faithful and the rebellious. The other is full of those who are specifically led by his grace, are in possession of both his word and sacrament, and are faithful to it. Who necessarily live by it, not by the law, but by the power of the Spirit. For those who live in this kingdom, this is enough to satisfy. It is enough because despite what happens in the kingdom of the left, we are also aware of another kingdom, the kingdom of glory, which will come upon both the present kingdoms of the left and the right, which will encompass us all, and there will be no doubt who is the true king of all at that time. But before that time, what we are to understand then is that the present kingdom of the left, which is the government, which is ultimately under the authority of God, is rightly in rule. Put simply, to disobey a messenger is to disobey the giver of the message. The government has been described at times as the avenger that carries out God's wrath, and rightly so. He isn't always casting down fire and brimstone. Sometimes he'll use a police officer, or a lawyer, or a judge. The law is there for us to obey, and thankfully the laws which are put in place for us to obey from the kingdom of the left are of such nature that they can be obeyed. And actually the great thing about the consequences of breaking the law in the kingdom of the left is that according to its justice, no worse sentence can be issued beyond death. Not that that is all we have to worry about as Christians, but that that is true of the kingdom of the left, which is why we need more in the kingdom of the right. But though more law is given in the kingdom of the right, we also have the gospel, that which cannot be given in the kingdom of the left with any real authority, for it is not its purpose. Interestingly, in God's right-hand kingdom, we are told that should we break any law, not only by word or deed, but thought, we deserve a sentence worse than death, but that that sentence has already been served by our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good news. Therefore, we're led by His grace and love to serve the Lord, not just fear Him. And this is important because otherwise it's just a matter of what I can get away with, right? If the law says that what I'm doing is not necessarily a criminal offense or simply doesn't know I'm doing it, what's stopping me from doing it? I'm one of those people who hates trying to find a parking space when all I want to do is pop into the shop for a minute, so I don't mind stopping on a yellow line for 5 minutes. And sometimes it may be somewhere I really shouldn't because it may restrict access to someone else. Whether it's dropping or picking someone up from the train station or even the hospital, sometimes I can do things that are technically against the law. But the kingdom of the left sometimes has absolutely no idea. They are none the wiser. Now that really doesn't make it right, and I should really think about how I can reform my behavior. That's called self-discipline. But the fact is, it's not on record, and the kingdom of the left will not sentence me, unlike the couple times I was speeding and got tickets through the door. Now, in those instances, I can thank God for His two mercies in not sending me to jail or taking away my driver's license through His kingdom on the left, and as I, of course, repent of that sin. But if I try to count them all, I can also then thank God for His many more mercies as I repent of all the things that I have committed according to His kingdom on the right. For it doesn't matter whether I was caught, God knows what I have thought, said, and done, which is just as important, if not more so. And what changes our behavior then, our fear and love for God? So in all things, order is to be kept. Clearly in the left-hand kingdom, the government is God's servant to keep law and order, and we are guaranteed this, whether the one in authority is a believer or not. And it's on these lines that we'll continue our train of thought. For even in Isaiah 45, where we're told about King Cyrus the unbeliever, we see how God uses whomever He desires to carry out His will. God, through this pagan king, punishes the Babylonians, who ruled most of the world, in order to free His people Israel, who simply couldn't lift a finger to help themselves, which is also quite important to note. Israel's savior, in the 8th century BC, was a pagan, King Cyrus. My brother lived in Saudi Arabia for a bit, and you hear some fun stories like the one where a woman borrowed her husband's car to get some groceries in town, but a 10-year-old boy completely totaled her car in a collision. But she got the full blame and paid all the expenses because women are not allowed to drive in Saudi Arabia, whereas boys are. That's the law of the land. And she broke it. Even in such a bizarre situation as that, secular rulers and governments are God's rule of His left hand and threaten punishment for wrongdoers. So the message is simple. Do what is right. This is what we call as conservative Lutherans being curbed by the law. This is the first use of the law, to be guided in the right way we should go. It's pretty obvious when the threat of punishment is involved. And, as I've also mentioned before, we also exercise a certain amount of freedom, however, when it comes to this use of the law. The line can sometimes bend to the point of almost breaking, but stay intact. But is that really the Christian way to live? And in our own heads, we may have a very good reason for pushing against the bar. Maybe we have a sick one at home and we need supplies urgently, so we're not necessarily thinking of the safety of others, or we are simply more aware of things that are much worse for us, and so we console ourselves that we at least do not partake in those things. And at the end of the day, can we even say that there is one thing we know to be absolutely good for us? But sometimes we are just looking for excuses. In another half a year, some of us will be beginning the grueling process of filling out our tax returns again. What is going to be written off as a professional expense? Will everything be declared in the right column? All I can say is, make sure it does. One certainly doesn't want to be in violation of both kingdoms. Jesus said, "Render to Caesar what is Caesar's," Matthew 22:21. Benjamin Franklin famously made these words echo through the ages, "Nothing is certain but death and taxes." We can but pray that it is the lesser laws that we need to be curbed from breaking rather than the larger ones. For the truth is, there is not a sin we are not capable of breaking, and there will be consequences for breaking the law. It's sad that for some this will be the only means by which they will be kept from becoming a criminal, to fear punishment. But I've certainly seen it myself, someone who seems to have no conscience themselves to want to do the right thing, for that's what it takes. This is certainly possible in the kingdom of the left, but it makes more sense in the kingdom of the right, a kingdom which is governed not by the rod, but by the Spirit. He would give us wisdom to not only know what is right and what is wrong, but to ask forgiveness where we have done wrong, and not only done it, but spoke it and thought it too. This is why I may from time to time say something like the Christian may have a sounder mind, but in truth even the servant of the Lord will know a little taste of the sword, something the Roman governors knew how to use quite well. Romans would cut things off, usually heads, and they had every right in order to keep law and order. Paul says, if you do wrong, be afraid, for he, the governing authorities, does not bear the sword in vain. For again, he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Verse 4. For this reason God has given us the tremendous gift of the secular government to protect us, to care for us, and to provide for us, and he tells us to obey the secular authorities. Here in Romans 13, Paul says, pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. Verse 7. I once thought that the Apostle Paul was flattering and buttering up Roman officials Felix, Festus, and King Agrippa as he was making his appeals to them in court. It turns out he was just giving them the honor they were due. So there are consequences for breaking the laws of the land, yes, whether we get caught or not. And when we break those laws and the government does exercise its authority over us, it is also God's hand at work, his left hand, whether it be fines, jail time, or even execution. But we are also to know that God's right hand of grace and forgiveness is at work as well. God has washed us clean as the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin, 1 John 1:7. He paid the price on the cross of Calvary, and our repentance declares us eternally not guilty. The consequences for your sin are still there in the kingdom of the left. If you've murdered someone, you'll still go to prison, but you won't die eternally if you repent. If you've committed adultery, your wife may divorce you, but you won't die eternally if you repent, though that's what you deserve. And the Roman government had a special form of execution reserved for the worst criminals, crucifixion. It was slow and excruciatingly painful, and involved both the right and left hands of Jesus. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21. It is this divine human exchange, whereby he got our sin and we got his righteousness, around which the kingdom of the right revolves. This is God's ultimate rule, and that's what we believe. So though God's rules rule, his ultimate rule is that there's no rule you can obey to get into paradise, especially not the golden rule. I can't love my neighbor as myself. It's a good thing then that it's not the golden rule, but the ultimate rule that gets me to paradise. Jesus died for me, and in that I believe for everlasting life with him one day. Thanks be to God, in the name and for the sake of Jesus. Amen. You've been listening to Faith That Functions. Thanks for tuning in. The podcast of this program is also available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. My name is Pastor Gordon Naumann. I serve St. David's Lutheran Church in Cardiff, Wales, and you can find us at stdavidcardiff.webs.com. I hope you've enjoyed this week's message. Next week we'll be looking at forgiving those who hurt you from Genesis chapter 50. But for now, God bless you, and I look forward to speaking to you again soon on Lutheran Radio UK for another episode of the series Faith That Functions.